As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture for us this day from Matthew's Gospel, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Hear these words from Matthew's Gospel. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" And Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into your mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, false witnesses, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives, our living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of comfort, rest, and peace from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Doing a new thing is not always easy. Doing a new thing causes alarm, concern, anxiety, tempers flare, heads shake, anger, people walk away. Doing a new thing causes joy, excitement, celebration, hope. The list for both sides can go on and on. In today's scripture reading from Matthew, in Jesus' story, Jesus is making some changes in the old established dietary laws and to whom he's willing to minister to. Now, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is only to minister to the lost children of Israel. The people of Israel, the Jewish people, that's it. Is it really important what we eat? Well, our doctors today will tell us yes, it is. Low fat, high fiber. Portions of red meat the size of a deck of cards, darn. For the Israelite people to hear these words of Jesus was upsetting dietary laws that had been in place for over 2,000 years. They are a big deal. For a Jewish person, they only sat around a table with another Jewish person because their dietary laws, keeping the family kosher, were huge. But now Jesus says, hey, that's not all that important. What you eat, you put it in your mouth, you chew it, you swallow it, goes into your stomach, through your intestine, into the sewer, and it's gone. But, my friends, what comes out of your mouth is what proceeds from the heart, and that is what makes you unclean or clean. That was shocking news. Life-changing for some of the first century Israelite Jewish people. I'm sure that some wondered if Jesus really knew what he was talking about. Does Jesus really possess the authority that he says he has? And then we're told that he journeys from there, and a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting at him, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter's being tormented by a demon." And the scriptures tell us that Jesus really tries to ignore her. But the disciples come and say, "Oh my goodness, this woman's driving us crazy. Will you please send her away?" And there's some interesting dialogue that takes place. Now remember that in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is only to minister to the children of Israel, to the chosen people. And so that's why Jesus seems to be so hard on her. And yet in the end, we see that Jesus knows what is the right thing to do and that Jesus always does what is right. It is never wrong to heal and to make one whole. It's always right to do the right thing. The last two Sundays, we've had two baptisms. We don't have one today. We have one next week again. And the office staff will always place in the bulletin until a new hymnal is, the church comes out with a new hymnal and that paragraph is fixed because General Conference made a change years ago and added some extra words in there in our response as a congregation and individuals to that child that is being baptized. And so once again, we'll share at the end of that baptism in a new thing. We will promise, just like the parents are promising to raise that child in the life of the church, we are recommitting ourselves to the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Bishop Scott Jones reminded clergy here last spring when he was in our conference for a continuing ed event. He said that we have essentially, in the life of the church, lowered our expectations in ministry, and we have lost our accountability. We need to broaden the conversation, he says, and share the true expectation in our Wesleyan approach to ministry that all disciples, all of us, all disciples of Jesus Christ are expected to worship, to give, to serve, and most importantly, to grow. Now, John Wesley did not intend to start the Methodist Church, the Methodist movement. He really wanted to draw students together in a more intimate relationship with God. He wanted to bring people closer to God, to Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit. And when they met in their small groups, their covenant groups, there was always one question that seemed to be asked. Now, that's why I'm wearing this shirt today. It's not just casual Sunday for David to wear a t-shirt. But when the ministerium was talking about the worship service 2 weeks ago to kick off the celebration of the 150th birthday anniversary, they designed this shirt for us. Norwin Ministerium salutes 150 years, 1864, Irwin, 2014. And so they provided us with these shirts because when we gathered together for worship a couple weeks ago, Doug Burns from North Huntington Christ Church rode in to the worship service on a horse, representing one of the old time circuit riders that rode around our country worshiping in congregations, and they got there on horseback. There's a picture of a horse on the back of my shirt. And I don't know whether you can read it, but there's a question there that says, how is it with your soul? You see, that's a question that the circuit riders would ask. That's a question that John Wesley asked in the covenant groups. How is it this week with your soul? How are you growing in your prayer life? How are you growing in your presence? How are you growing in your gifts, your giving? How are you growing in your service? How are you growing in your witness? All of this connected in the life of the church. Do we see and celebrate what God has done for us in all that we have and all that we do? Can we start to see God's presence in everything today? Is it not time to do a new thing? This past week, I was reading an article of the bishop, and he shared a story that there was a man that came up to another speaker on church growth and stewardship and giving, and said to this, his pastor said, "Pastor, I need to have a conversation with you because I'm having trouble with this tithing." He said, "Years ago, when I was making $20,000 a year, my salary," he said, "it was very easy for me to give $2,000 to the church." He said, "But now that I'm making $500,000 a year, it's difficult for me to give $50,000 to the church. If you were to set my salary at $500,000, I would graciously write that check of $50,000. Come on, you're supposed to chuckle. So the minister said to him, "Absolutely, I see you've got a problem." He said, "We need to pray about this. Can we pray right now?" And the man said, "Yes, absolutely." And so the minister started out by saying, "Lord God, we are thankful for this day, for this individual, and we understand and see that he has a problem with his salary and with tithing. So our prayer is, oh God, is that you will back his salary back down to where he can find a comfortable place of tithing." How is it with your soul? In our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness. Do we see and celebrate what God has done for us through the church, through the presence of Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit? Do we see or dream of what God could do somewhere on down the road? Are we as persistent as this mother was in the scripture for her daughter so that she might experience a healing by coming at Jesus and the disciples until finally Jesus listened and said, in essence, "Go home, she's well"? See, friends, I don't believe that we need to continue to live in a crisis that many of our churches are facing today. I believe that we can make a difference in the world. We can make a difference in our churches because we are children of Almighty God, and God seeks to bless each and every one of us. God has done, God can, and God will do miraculous things in the life of the church and through its ministry. So maybe today we can start to do a new thing, to see what God can do through us when we are good stewards over everything, everything that God has given us. May we every day be a part of the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful but the gift of Scripture, for its teaching and claim upon our lives, for the ability to change and to do a new thing. Oh God, we pray that your Spirit might be new and fresh upon and within each and every one of us as we go from this place into the world. Continue, oh God, to change and to transform us today, tomorrow, and yes, even in the days, the weeks, and the years ahead. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.